Today we have two esteemed panelists. I know both of them from the history back in the days. We used to talk about a lot of different things, and I think they are phenomenal. They're going to give us some really good guidance on aid and attendance survivors' benefits. And first, we have Adam Swantz, who is a Chicago Regional Office Veteran Services Center manager. And we have Tanya Nixon, the Chicago Regional Office Claims and Appeals. I'll tell you a little bit about Adam. He assumed the role of the Veteran Service Center Manager, VSCM, of the Chicago Regional Office in November of 2019. In this role, Adam has the day-to-day operational responsibility of 130 employees administering VBA's service-connected compensation benefit. The Veteran Service Center's jurisdiction includes veterans and their dependents in the 102 counties of the state of Illinois, serving over 600,000 veterans and paying almost $2 billion in benefits annually. Sounds like the person you might want to know. Also, we have Tanya Nixon, who has been serving the U.S. veterans for nearly 20 years. She started at the St. Petersburg, Virginia Regional Office in June of 2001 and transferred back home to the Chicago Regional Office in October of 2010. That was our gain. Over the years, she has worked in all aspects of the VA disability claims process, including appeals. Tanya lives in Johnsburg, Illinois, with her husband and their one-year-old son, and their dog and two cats. What a crew. It sounds like you're kind of busy, Tanya. But
just a bit.
Just a bit. Okay, so who wants to lead us off to talk about the Chicago Regional Office and the need to talk about aid and attendance survivors' benefits?
Yeah, sir. This is Adam. Hey, appreciate you having us on. It's always a pleasure for us to come on the show and share some information. But I'm really here as the supporting act for Tanya because she's the true subject matter expert. So I'm gonna basically turn it over to her and just be here for backup if any questions arise or anything you guys need from me. But other than that, I'll turn it over to Tanya.
Okay, Tanya, let's go.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Thank you, Adam, and thank you for having us on.
Sure.
This is an honor to get to talk about my favorite subject. Well, my second favorite after my son, of course. so basically, as your listeners, I assume, probably know, we sort of have two basic benefits with the VA. You've got your service-connected compensation benefits and then your non-service-connected pension benefits. And as the name somewhat implies, service-connected compensation is payable when a veteran or service member is injured during service or becomes ill during service and has a permanent chronic disability because of that service. Pension is for those who are permanently and totally disabled or over age 65 and have income below a certain level, but the disabilities don't have to be due to service.
Okay, good.
Please feel free to interrupt me if you have any questions or anything.
Oh, no, that's fine. Yeah, just understanding what you're saying. Yeah.
Okay, so sometimes we have veterans who are in need of who are more seriously disabled, and therefore they need what we call the aid and attendance of another person, or they're housebound because of their disabilities. So the basic requirements for aid and attendance and housebound are the same whether a veteran is receiving disability compensation or disability pension. The basic requirements, like I said, are the same. So for aid and attendance, as the name implies, they need the aid and attendance of another person on a regular basis. And this might be due to, it's frequently due to, say, dementia in somewhat older patients or older veterans, possibly a very serious physical disability, for example, diabetes with a lot of complications, or ALS, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, easy for me to say, Parkinson's disease, a few of the other diseases or conditions that affect the entire body. They might need assistance with any or all of dressing themselves, bathing, eating, feeding, preparing food, walking, basically your general activities of daily living. So again, the biggest one, walking, eating, dressing, bathing, taking medications. Aid in attendance is also payable if a person is bedridden due to their disabilities. Now, this is not just, you know, I'm hurting today, so I'm going to stay in bed. This is, I actually can't get out of bed because of this disability. So now the difference between the compensation and the pension aspect of it is compensation, all these, this need for aid in attendance of another person must be due to a service-connected disability. So we see it more often due to, say, the physical disabilities of ALS, Parkinson's, occasionally due to a mental disability, but that's less common in terms of just a mental disability, because mental is usually more, if somebody has dementia, which is not as often service-connected. Now, with pension, you just have to have a disability that requires aid and attendance of another person. So it could be dementia that didn't start because of service, but a veteran's in receipt of pension, and therefore they're able to get this higher level of care or this aid and attendance. There's also an additional higher level of aid and attendance available only for a veteran who's receiving service-connected compensation, and that is if it requires, if their condition requires hospitalization or nursing home care, or would require hospitalization or nursing home care, except that they have a licensed healthcare professional who is in their home on a daily basis to provide that level of care. That could be also due to a traumatic brain injury. Now that we do see more often with the compensation cases, unfortunately, these days. But it could be traumatic brain injury or other issues. Again, the higher level, and this is a slightly higher payment, that's only for disability compensation. And then we also have the housebound benefits, which you mentioned, and that's, it's a slightly lower level of care required, but it's either what we call housebound in fact, which is where a veteran is literally confined to their house, or at least largely confined to their house. They may be able to leave on occasion to go to a doctor's appointment, or very briefly for other circumstances, but largely they're confined to their house because of medical requirements, not just because they'd prefer not to go outside. Then for compensation, there's also what we call statutory housebound, which is, it's, you don't have to actually be housebound, but you have to have one disability at 100%, a single disability rated at 100% disabling, and additional other disability or disabilities that are 60% or higher. So it's basically just, it's our way of sort of granting additional benefits to somebody who is clearly very seriously disabled, even if they aren't entirely bedridden or confined to their house. Some of the basic requirements for both the aid in attendance and housebound are that there's a single disability that's at, that's rated at 100% or higher, with the idea being that, in, you know, on a general basis, you probably wouldn't need either aid in attendance or would be housebound if you were not totally disabled, which I assume probably makes sense. There are some exceptions. I mentioned diabetes or ALS or Parkinson's, you know, some of the total system disabilities, systemic disabilities where, you know, maybe each leg is not necessarily totally disabling, but you've got disabilities affecting your legs, your arms, your mobility, and everything altogether combines to 100%, and therefore you'd need aid and attendance or housebound benefits.
Okay, fantastic. So it sounds like there really is a lot out there that people can actually, you know, sort of look into to see if they qualify for those particular, you know, benefits. And, is there a number that people can get in contact with or a website that they should go to?
Well, the general number is the VA number, 1-800-827-1000, and that is our national call centers. The website would be pretty simple just to start out. It's www.va.gov. And then from there, there are different, it's pretty clearly laid out, so you should be able to look for pension or compensation or aid in attendance. I believe there's a search function on the website, too, where you can actually, you know, type in the words if you're not sure exactly which section to go to. And I did, I did neglect to mention, too, there are aid and attendance or housebound benefits available for veterans' spouses or widows, or surviving spouses, I should say, since widows, not gender neutral. A surviving spouse of a veteran, if they are in receipt of either dependency and indemnity compensation or pension, the dependency and indemnity compensation, it's also called DIC for short, that would be if the veteran passed away from a service-connected disability or if they were rated at permanently and totally disabled for generally at least 10 years prior to their death. There are some exceptions for POWs and a few other circumstances, but that would be essentially the surviving spouse's version of compensation. So if the surviving spouse is in receipt of DIC or pension and they themselves are either in need of aid and attendance of another person or are housebound, they can get those benefits. A veteran who is still alive but has a spouse who is in need of aid and attendance can get an additional benefit for that spouse because of their need for aid and attendance. Not a housebound benefit, just an aid and attendance benefit if the veteran is still alive.
Okay. So, you know, is there any differences between, you know, I know sometimes it varies by which particular time frame you were in, whether you were a Vietnam veteran or, you know, OEF, OIF, or, mm-hmm. you know, or even World War II, because we still have our brave veterans who are still surviving from that era.
Yes.
And then the branch of service, is, you know, so those do those affect those at all?
They do not.
Okay.
It's basically, however the disabilities arose, the benefit amount is the same. And it's, or I should say, the benefit amount is based on how disabling something is now. So whether it started in 1943 or 2017, if you're at the same level of disability, you'd get the same benefit amount. Now, for pension, there is a specific requirement that the veteran has to have served at least one day during a wartime period. They do not have to have been in the war themselves, but they have to have served at least one day during a wartime period. So that would make a slight difference.
Okay, so they could be stateside and still
completely stateside. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh. Yeah. This is if they served prior to 1980, they have to have to qualify for pension, they have to have at least 90 days of service, one day of which was during a wartime. After 1980, it's 2 years of service, one day of which was during a wartime.
Wow. So, you know, for the do they have to go through an evaluation process? Because what you were mentioning before, you know, the activities of daily living, you mm-hmm. know, we call them ADLs, you know. So what right. type of evaluation process do they have to go through to determine whether they have that as a, you know, as a need that can be mm-hmm. compensated?
So for aid and attendance and housebound, we often don't need to have the veteran or surviving spouse go to another examination for the reasons you were sort of hinting at there, in that, you know, often they're not able to leave the house very easily. Mm-hmm. There's an application form. It's a VA form 212680 or 2680. It's an application for aid and attendance or housebound. And basically a veteran or surviving spouse can take, or spouse of a live veteran, if that's the case, can bring that form to their doctor or their treating physician, and they can fill it out. And it's a two-page form, or I think it's three pages now, but the first page is just admin type stuff. But it's a brief form where the doctor completes what disabilities are affecting the person right now, what disabilities are causing limitations, and then what those limitations are. So, for example, if the person is sometimes able to feed themselves, but they can't bathe themselves, and why, you know, it's, they have peripheral neuropathy to their arms or something, and they're unable to do anything that requires too many fine motor skills, or they're unable to walk, so therefore they can't get themselves in and out of a tub. You know, goes through all the general limitations. And I don't know if I specified before, but somebody does not have to need assistance with every ADL. It's just the, you know, overall, if there's enough of a need, enough difficulty with enough ADLs, that we're able to grant aid and attendance benefit.
Okay, so, you know, because you mentioned earlier about being, statutorily housebound, or you know, just being housebound in general, where you just have difficulties getting mobilized. But you mentioned one thing about, and you know, sometimes people are homebound, but they actually have to go to doctor's appointments. So does this cover that kind of transportation, or you know, how people will interact with that system?
You mean like monetarily cover the transportation?
No, just like, you know, what type of aids are available, you know, because sometimes people have to, be transported to their doctor's appointments, back and forth. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So this would be not necessarily under the aid and attendance or housebound benefit itself, it's a higher rate of payment that people would get, that veterans or surviving spouses would get, but it's not a specific allowance for the transportation. However, there are other allowances. We have the automobile allowance, or adapted equipment for the automobile, or there's also special home adaptation grants or specially adapted housing. Now, those are very separate, not very separate, but those are separate benefits from the aid and attendance or housebound, but they often encompass some of the same disabilities, and so some of the same people would be getting all of those benefits. I don't have all of them memorized, but essentially for auto allowance or for the home adaptations, it generally requires, again, a permanent and total disability of sorts and some combination of loss or loss of use of lower extremities, upper extremities. For some of them, there's if somebody's seriously burned or has a traumatic brain injury, that's a generalization, but it's generally because of service-connected disabilities, they're in need of certain modifications to either a house or a car or sometimes both. So that would be covered by those benefits.
Okay. So, you know, go ahead.
And those are what we in the benefits administration cover. Now, there are some transportation authorizations that the hospital, that the VA Medical Center is able to arrange. I don't know the ins and outs of those, though. I just know that that there are some assistances available.
Oh, fantastic. So someone who's approaching you, what advice would you give them, before they sort of apply for the aid and the attendant survivor's benefits? I guess they would have to have an evaluation, because it sounds like some of the determinations would be dependent on their disability status, and they would have to go through that process of actually submitting a claim and then, you know, being validated as this being service-connected or not.
Or at least for the veterans, not as much for the surviving spouses. So it is disability based. My advice would be to be as specific as possible. There are times when I get a form from a doctor and I can tell probably this person is going to qualify, but the doctor has maybe just said, yes, they need help eating, or yes, they need help bathing, but they don't explain why. And for pension, it's not as big a deal because, again, those pension disabilities don't have to be service-connected. Right. But for compensation, it does matter because, say, if they have multiple disabilities, some of which are service-connected and some of which are not, I can only base the aid and attendance grant or the housebound grant on those service-connected disabilities. So I would need to know, you know, why is it that they're unable to feed themselves? Is it, you know, the service-connected peripheral neuropathy of the hands, or is it that they broke their arm last week? You know, there's a difference, and so I do have to have it be as specific as possible so that I can grant the benefit without having to send somebody for an examination.
Well, fantastic.
Can I add to that?
Sure.
And Tanya did a great job explaining all that, and I haven't processed a claim in quite some time now. But it's a lot. It's clearly a lot of information, right? And there's a lot of variables and a lot of different scenarios. So when you ask for what our advice would be to someone, would be really to take advantage of your resources, Kids, so to speak, getting out of service now can jump on the internet and they can look up their benefits and you know, submit their claim. But folks that are facing the aid and attendance benefit particularly might need some additional assistance. So certainly we always plug the veteran service organizations, VFW, DAV. For us here in Chicago, the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs, or visit the local regional office. Because we have folks that is what their primary responsibility is to take those walk-ins, people with questions, people that have are in need of help filing claims and have questions, we'll be there and do that for them. So we've been closed. All the regional offices throughout the country closed at the end of March due to the pandemic. Yes. But we are starting to reopen. So if folks are able to visit an RO, do that and get that face-to-face assistance, or like Tammy gave the 800 number earlier, the 1-800-827-1000, that folks can certainly call in.
Great, because we've been encouraging our veterans to get vaccinated. We just had a show we closed out to make sure that people are getting the COVID, and I know the VA is really at the forefront of making sure that our veterans are covered with the vaccinations, which is an incredible move forward. And Category 1B actually includes sometimes a lot of these disabilities. So making sure people are aware of that. But I just want to thank you, Adam and Tanya, because, I know this is a passion for you. You cannot be in this field without that being a passion, and you probably have so many success stories. We have to have you back on. Because I was going to try to ask about success stories, but you were giving us so much great information that I know those success stories are out there. And
they are. And
for people listening, the 1-800-827-1000, that's the national number to get more information. And then also www.va.gov. And then look for, the pension and the compensation sections under that heading once you get to the website. But any last, we have 1 minute to go, but just any last thoughts from either one of you?
I think I've covered it all, unless you have something, Adam.
Tanya covered it all. Like I said, just reiterating, we're here to help. I'm speaking for Chicago. We have, so many employees like Tanya that are not only subject matter experts, but they genuinely care about what they're doing and they care about the mission.
Yes.
And we have our outstanding employees vastly outnumber anyone that isn't. So and more than half of our employees are veterans themselves, so truly caring about the mission.
Well, God bless you, and thank you. Thank you for your service to our veterans. And again, we are so pleased to have the Chicago Regional Office Veterans Benefit as our established partner. And we are going to take a commercial break. I want everyone to stay where you are. We have such incredible shows coming up for you. But thanks again, both Adam and Tanya.